Hey, Misfits, welcome back to the Misfits and Mysteries podcast. We are your weekly podcast for all things weird and wacky, from Bigfoot and aliens to psychology and history and everything in between. We are your hosts, Emmy.
And Steve.
So, Steve, how we doing?
Doing well, and we're fucking back.
We took a little break.
We're back and better than ever, and I'm really excited to make the podcast.
Yeah, we are well rested. We both have really great topics today that we're really excited about. So
we're excited. I'm just happy to be back.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I just need a break. It was really easy producing the show every week without missing anything during COVID when we had nothing going on.
Yeah.
But it becomes a little cumbersome, you know? Even people who do this professionally take breaks. So I'd say not too shabby.
Not too shabby. Well, you know what did happen today is, now I'm forgetting his name, the Virgin Atlantic guy.
Oh, yeah, he did the space plane.
Yeah.
Was it like a full like 2 days before Bezos is supposed to go up to space?
This is like the space race, but with corporations now.
Yeah, and it's kind of lame this time because Virgin Atlantic guy, his little plane flew at the very limit of what we consider outer space. So it wasn't even like as impressive as what Bezos is doing is also boring and just shooting up and coming back down.
Have you seen the petition online? Bezos isn't allowed to come back down to Earth. He goes up to space.
I like the idea.
The thing, it's like, it's not really that safe, I don't think. So what if they like die?
I have a theory too. Or actually, it's not really my theory. I got this from a great show I watch, Internet Today, on YouTube. Great channel. I highly recommend you check it out. It's really funny. They're talking about it. And their theory is that they're auctioning off a seat next to Bezos. And their theory is that Bezos is going to murder that guy because it's outer space. Laws don't apply. So he's going to do a murder and no one can convict him.
That would be an interesting legal question.
Imagine how many podcasts would be generated around that.
Oh my God.
Bring Serial back from the grave.
It's just a weird thing. And they're all fighting each other to get up to space. What are we missing? Are they trying to like leave?
Yeah, I think they are.
I feel like they're just waiting for climate change to take over and then they're going to be like, peace.
Also, you know that Bezos created his whole like space program because he wanted to bang his mistress?
What do you mean?
So you know he had the divorce because he was like having sex with that woman?
Yeah.
So he made her in charge of like the space thing, right? And then after they finished all the research, the project was done, he's like, oh, he tried to like keep her on the books because he was like, And they're like, why are you doing that? The project's over. So it seems like he might have legit created a whole rocket program just to have sex with a woman.
Well, I mean, can you imagine being that rich where you're like, want to sleep with someone? So you're like, let me just like send a few rockets into space and like,
Let me advance society in space travel just so I can have sex with this woman who probably would have had sex with him anyway because he's the richest man on the planet.
Meanwhile, the rest of us are just like trying to get a free drink or something.
Did I tell you about this? I was at a bar in Manhattan like 2 weekends ago. And this girl comes up to me. She's like hitting on me. I'm like, oh, whatever. Then she asks, can you buy me and my 6 friends drinks? And I was like, absolutely not.
You can tell me about this.
Absolutely not. I'm supposed to purchase 8 drinks and we're not at like a cheap. I mean, bars in Manhattan are expensive. That was going to run me at least like a $200. I was like, no way. Look for the creepy 50-year-old man. He'll buy that for you. Yeah, not me.
Like you in your early 20s. Are not the one that has the money to blow on something like that.
Yeah, like I'm literally looking for the creepy man somewhere. Like, isn't that the most egregious ask?
It's so funny. But you know what? I respect the hustle. Like, she's going for it.
I feel bad for the loser that purchased 8 drinks.
And like, she was upfront about it. She was like, you know what? Do you want to buy me and my friends drinks? No? Okay.
No, I don't want to buy you and your entire sorority drink. Sorry. Anyway, I think we have some English listeners. So, haha, you guys suck. I can't believe you guys blew the Europa thing to Italy in England.
I watched that game today. That was nuts.
That was really funny. It was really fucking funny that England blew it.
I felt so bad.
I felt so bad, but the kid kicked far left. He didn't even hit the net.
It has to be so much pressure, though. Oh, my God.
I know. Soccer is the absolute worst sport. I really couldn't think of anything besides maybe cricket. I couldn't imagine a sport I want to watch less.
Really?
I really think the only reason the world is so obsessed with soccer is that they didn't invent better sports like football, hockey, baseball, basketball, even lacrosse.
Oh my God. I enjoy watching soccer.
But nothing happens 99% of the time.
Well, it's not like the object of the game happens all the time, but you can still have an exciting game.
I disagree. If one goal is scored, that's like at most three goals scored a game.
But Steve, the same thing happens in hockey.
But not all the time. It's usually like a more high scoring game.
A little bit. Yeah. I don't know.
Like there's scoring chances that could actually go in versus I feel like soccer, if it doesn't go in, it's not even a shot. Like they're just behind the net and the defense is way better than offense can ever be.
Agree to disagree.
Anyway, it's just really funny that England lost at home again.
I mean, that kickoff was just devastating.
That was really funny. All right. Anyway, what are you talking about today?
I am talking about a cult.
Ooh, which cult?
The True Way cult.
All righty. That sounds interesting.
But you guys are in for a real treat. I try to pick a cult that isn't scary.
Ooh, good. So I got two pretty little stories for you here. The Loveland Frogman of Ohio, because we actually have a good chunk of our listeners from Ohio. And then this is one I discovered on Reddit from Kansas City, Kansas, called Sinkhole Sam.
I can't wait.
I love the name Sinkhole Sam. But before we hop into the episode, two things. We don't have a voicemail for you guys this week. So please give us a phone call at 914-627-8582 and leave us a voicemail. We've had some great ones so far. We had a ghost story, a Bigfoot story. Leave us a message. If you have a cryptid sighting, if you have a ghost story, want to say hi, tell us a scary story. You can even steal one from the internet and we won't know. Just tell it to us.
Yeah. Send it our way.
Yeah, and so leave us a voicemail at 914-627-8582. And before we hop in, do not forget to rate and review the show and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform.
Hit us up.
Yep. Now let's hop into the episode.
All right, so this is the True Way cult. And that is a translation from the original name, which is Chen Tao.
Mm-hmm.
And it started in Taiwan. So True Way is actually a translation from the actual name, which is Chen Tao.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia classifies it as a UFO religion.
UFO religion. That's exciting. Yeah.
So it started by this guy. His name is Han Ming Chen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was born in 1955. He was a former professor and he claimed to be an atheist, but he later joined a new agey religious group that had been around in Taiwan for a while. But in 1993, he got kind of tired with just some of the BS, like paying these expensive dues. So he started his own religion with one of his like fellow church members. And they had a lot of wacky beliefs.
That's exciting. We should start a church.
Maybe we should.
I don't know if I should talk about this in the podcast. It might hurt my odds, but I kind of want to join the Freemasons.
I mean,
I was watching a documentary on them. And
like,
I think secret. I'd have so much fun because you're not allowed to say it, tell anyone anything that happens. I'd have so much fun just going on Reddit, being like, I'm a Freemason, asking me anything and just saying, I can't answer that question. Everything just pissed people off. I figure like worst case scenario, I join a very exclusive club and become a better man as their objective says.
Mm-hmm.
And then best case scenario, all the QAnon freaks are right. And I'm a member of the New World Order and everything goes well for me.
That's a win-win. Seems like a win-win.
Yeah, seriously. I think the former is more likely than the latter, but still.
Well, we'll see.
See, my grandfather was a Freemason.
There you go. You have an in.
I do, maybe. I think I'm of good moral character, and I do believe in... You don't need to believe in God. You just got to believe in a higher power to be a member, and to be an 18-year-old male.
You seem to fit all of those requirements, so.
No girls allowed. Sorry, Emmy.
Tough.
Sucks to suck. All right, let's get back on track.
Okay. Basically, this religion combines cosmology and astrology and flying saucers with typical Christian motifs. So the Christian God exists, but there's a lot of like alien UFO type stuff in here as well. So are you ready to dive in?
Oh, I am very ready.
Okay. So here is the world according to the True Way religion.
Awesome.
So they believe that the solar system was created by a nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that makes any sense.
It doesn't, but sure.
Who was having the war if that created the solar system?
The aliens, obviously.
I guess so. He believes... I'm saying he, meaning the founder, like these are his core beliefs, but this is just like the whole religion. So he believes the solar system is 4.5 trillion years old, which is 300 times the age that scientists say it is, which is pretty crazy. So
at least he believes it's older, not newer, like some people
do. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Basically, he believes that there's these five great tribulations. So there's been five instances where Earth has gone into like such complete disarray that God has to like come and save everybody. So that first started 10 million years ago between dinosaurs in the Middle East. And it was like getting so crazy that God descended on a flying saucer to airlift all of the living creatures on Earth to safety.
Wow.
That's why there's no more dinosaurs, because God picked them up in his flying saucer. So I guess he's like a physical being, picked them up in his flying saucer and took them somewhere.
That's very nice of him. Dinosaurs are really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but I don't hate it.
I don't either. Just a really quick side tangent. I saw this clip. It was incredible. I was watching. So Joe Rogan had this paleontologist on, and they watched one of these flat earther losers who has another poorly researched fake theory that he believes that the dinosaurs never existed. And he just watched it with this paleontologist, and he kept pausing it, and the guy would just correct things and was getting so angry. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God. That sounds ridiculous.
It was funny.
I didn't write down the other five tribulations, but you get the idea.
You wrote down the best one.
Yeah, exactly. So he believes that, so this is in like 1993 to 1995. He lets all of his followers know that the sixth tribulation is coming. And he believes it will occur in 1989. And he thinks that God is gonna come down and save everybody. So in 1995, he and his, quote, disciples go to San Dimas, California, and they rename themselves the God Salvation Church. And there's a lot of controversy around it because he charged everyone $90,000.
Wow.
To get there and like be a part of his crew.
That's like a good salary for each head. He made a lot of money.
That's a fuck ton of money, dude.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money. It's at this time that things start getting a little crazy. So he tells everyone that everyone has three souls, I guess. And he has like all this spiritual energy stuff. And he believes that there's these, quote, outside souls who act as the bad influences or like demons who are creating bad stuff on Earth. And that's who God needs to save everyone from. And it's at this time where he's like, guys, I know this because I have a ring on my finger that lets me talk to God.
Wow.
And he says that he has that because 2,000 years ago, he was Jesus's father.
Wow. So Jesus wasn't born to the Virgin Mary.
Yeah.
She was just Mary.
So I don't know if that means that he was spiritually Jesus's father or like literally. I don't know if that means that like he's God or he was just like Jesus's dad. Because if he's just Jesus's dad, then like Jesus was just a normal person.
Well, it must be, because if he was God, why would he need a ring to talk to himself?
See, that's the thing. I'm not really clear on that. But it might be like he is the embodiment of God, like the same way that Jesus was.
Oh, maybe. It's possible.
So that's why he was Jesus's father, because he like is a little bit of God. So glad we got that cleared up. Now he's accumulated like 150 members of this church, the God Salvation Church, in typical cult fashion, all dress in white. And they wear like white sneakers, white pants, white shirt, and a white cowboy hat.
That's incredible.
Yep. And California to Garland, Texas. And the reason that they moved to Garland, Texas is because they thought it kind of sounded like God's land.
That's hysterical. They just probably looked at a map until they found something that was similar enough to God's land. Like, oh, that's good enough.
Like, not really that close.
They probably moved because there's no income tax.
I don't know. And this is also like very close to all of like the Waco, Texas controversy. So people are not fucking with cults.
Oh, definitely not after Waco.
People in Texas are on like very high alert for this type of activity.
Mm-hmm.
They moved to Garland, Texas, buying 30 different homes all within like a 2-mile radius of the leader. So once they're there, they were placing ads in different newspapers around Garland saying, you'll like this, Steve. Jesus had taken the form of Abraham Lincoln and now lives in Vancouver.
What a wacky thing to say. Did I tell you I watched Abraham Lincoln Vampire Slayer?
Yes.
It was actually really good.
Yeah, it was like a real movie.
It was incredible.
Peters.
It was actually like really good. It was super well done. The acting was awesome. And it's a really fun story. Just sorry, we don't need to talk about that. But yeah, I recommend it to anyone.
So not only is Abraham Lincoln alive and living in Vancouver.
He's alive today?
In 1995, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like he faked his own death and moved to Vancouver. That's wild.
No, he's currently alive and he lives in Vancouver and he's Jesus.
Wow. What a resume. Abraham Lincoln and Jesus.
I'm not really like following his whole thing about who's Jesus. If that just means like the Son of God and there's like multiple Jesuses.
Or maybe he's actually Abraham Lincoln's father.
Maybe. Maybe 2,000 years ago, he gave birth to Abraham Lincoln, aka Jesus.
He personally birthed Lincoln.
Yes.
Not his wife.
Not Lincoln was not born in a log cabin, as some claim. He was in a manger.
Per sources, actually, Abe Lincoln, a vampire, was beating up a slave boy that Lincoln was friends with. And Lincoln tried to fight back. And then as punishment, the vampire ate his mom. So we don't know what happened to his mom. She was eaten by a vampire. So
it could
have been the Virgin Mary for all we know.
Yeah, it was Mother Mary.
Perhaps.
It was Mother Mary and Han Ming Chen.
That explains a lot. Yeah, I mean.
That explains a lot, right?
It explains everything. Just think about it. Like, white people in the Middle Ages would never admit that a Chinese man was, He was a Taiwanese man. Taiwanese man was the father of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty good. And also the fact that they would take out an ad in the paper to say that.
This might be a dumb question, but I'm just thinking, all white, Texas, a lot of barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
How messy do you think their suits got whenever they went out to barbecue dinners?
Oh my God. Those white hats.
Touch their hat. It was just like rib grease and.
Oh my God.
Just staining their hats. Oh my God.
Yeah, that is tough when you have to wear white every day. Like, you have to be so careful.
They must have invested in a lot of bleach.
Yeah, very true. Here's my favorite part, and we're kind of getting to the end of the story. Chen publishes this book called God's Descending on Clouds, parentheses, flying saucers, to save people. That's the name of the book.
That is the most on-the-nose title. I love that.
Right? You know exactly what it's about. So he predicts that God will, in the flesh, descend upon his own house in Garland, Texas, at 10 a.m. on March 31st, 1998. Upon God's arrival, he would replicate himself to meet everyone in attendance and start what he called the Great Evacuation.
Nice.
And here's a really great part of it. God would announce his return to Earth on Channel 18, the local Garland retail shopping
channel. It's not even a news network. It's the retail shopping network.
Yes, the shopping network. He's going to get on Channel 18 at 12:01 a.m. on March 25th. And he's going to announce to everyone that he is coming to save them.
That is incredible. I actually love this guy. He's so funny. Forces everyone to wear white, moves to a state that has barbecue all the time. Also, he's moving to a state that's hotter than hell to wear white suits. He's such a troll. Think of the pit stains on all your clothing. And then he tells you that God's going to announce that he's going to arrive on a local shopping channel.
The Garland, Texas Shopping Network.
This guy is a god. I don't know if he's the god.
He's his own god.
It sounds like some nonsense like a 14-year-old boy would make up.
Yeah, exactly. His followers are like, let's fucking go. We are ready. So they built a spacecraft.
Like an actual functioning spacecraft?
They built it out of tires, plywood, and lampposts. So no. I don't even know why they would need that if God's coming down to get them. But that, whatever.
They wouldn't.
And they also prepared a shrine with fruit, soda, and crackers. Weird collection of stuff.
So the creator of the universe is coming, and the best you can do is soda, fruit, and crackers, not even cheese.
Yeah, he's going to be like, guys.
It's like, I've had better snacks at a college frat party than this.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Like, this is like the Last Supper. It's just like crackers and Diet Coke.
All right. If I am the supreme creator of the world and I'm coming down to Earth, you better have at least a fucking charcuterie board at a minimum. I'm expecting a fancy dinner. I want to sample your best foods. I don't want some crackers. They're probably got like name brand, like Stop and Shop crackers. Not even, they couldn't even spend money to get like Wheaton's or something.
Yeah. And it was probably like Rick's Cola, like
Garland's, whatever local Garland's supermarket brand saltines is.
Oh my god.
Something nasty.
Anyways, that's what they have ready. And they get ready. They're like praying all the time. And they're ready for him to save them from what they think is like this impending nuclear war.
Yes.
So then Chen gets up there and he's like, guys, if God doesn't show up in Garland, I will make myself available for, in quote, make myself available for stoning or crucifixion. And his followers will be free to just like pack up and go home.
This guy's talking a big game. He really believed that his Ritz crackers were going to attract God.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's an important part of the story that he said, you guys can kill me if this doesn't go right. And he also says, just so everyone knows, because of this weird cult stuff that's been going on, we are not going to kill ourselves. That is not a plan of ours.
I mean, I think this guy actually thought God was going to come for him.
I really think
he did. And his saltines. No, I do too. If he's like, guys, if he doesn't come, you can kill me and go home. This is not a power hungry guy. This is a guy who genuinely believes.
Well, just wait. So that night that God's supposed to appear on TV, there's TV crews outside of Chen's home and they're like ready to watch his and everyone else's reaction. So they're like watching, they're watching. They get to his house at 8 p.m., just in time for the event, which is supposed to happen at midnight.
That's so early for something that's not actually going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
Out of
and so, so there's more than 100 reporters and neighbors standing out there, and 1201 strikes, and the shopping channel just continues.
Oh, that's brutal.
Absolutely brutal.
I would be like, maybe I got mixed up and it was Mountain Time or Pacific Time.
Yeah. So Chen gets out there and he stands up in front of all of his supporters, all of the reporters, all of the neighbors who have gathered. And he's like, guys, I got it wrong. And you should treat this as nonsense because I was wrong. So like, everyone just forget about it. Everybody go home.
That is so sad.
It's kind of funny because initially he was like, you guys can like stone me, crucify me. And now he's just like, sorry, guys, messed up. Like, why don't you just go home?
That poor guy. That sounds like someone who actually believed the nonsense he was spewing.
He said that his faith remained unchanged. He still believes, but the signals that he was getting about what was going to happen that night and when it was going to happen was wrong.
That must be such a blow to your ego. Something you genuinely believe.
He thought that he was God, pretty much. And now he's like, oops, sorry. Like,
turns out I'm not. That's a bummer.
Turns out God did not appear on the TV channel at 12:01 a.m.
That's a bummer.
Here's a direct quote from him.
Awesome.
So he says, first of all, I hope that everyone can still have the true belief in God, in the existence of God, even though the image didn't show up on the television. I don't have any reason to doubt the existence of God, supreme being in this universe. So
it's too bad for him, but you know, at least no one got hurt. That's all that matters with these cults.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to pick one where no one got hurt. It was just kind of like something funny, something weird. And I feel like I really hit it with this one.
I think you hit a home run there. That was a great, great one. Why is there a mosquito in this room? We're indoors. Can we talk about how rude bugs are? They have all of the outdoors to live in and they still insist on coming in our house and just invading our personal space.
It's actually terrible because mosquitoes have like no reason to be around. Like, they've done studies where if you took mosquitoes out of the food web, nothing would really change.
I saw a study recently where mosquitoes make up only 1/13 of the stomach contents of insectivores. So they're really not that significant to the food chain.
They give so many people diseases. If we could just get rid of mosquitoes.
I guess the problem is that there are like 3,000 species of mosquitoes and only 3 of them bite humans.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, we're committing, I mean, I'm pro genociding all of the mosquitoes, no matter what, indiscriminately, because they're awful, but I kind of get that aspect of it, but they don't make up that much of the ecosystem. Also, something's got to fill that ecological niche anyway. And what if the thing that replaces mosquitoes is worse?
But if it's like not disrupting the food chain, is something going to fill that niche?
Well, yeah, if nothing's eating the blood, something will fill the niche. I just want them to eradicate ticks, though. I'm terrified of ticks.
Yeah, ticks suck.
That's another reason I'm excited to be leaving the Northeast, because Lyme disease is the scariest thing in the world to me. It ends your life, pretty much. You don't die from it, but if you get it bad, you don't have any energy. There's like mental issues that come with it, like mental illness stuff. It's just such a miserable disease. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Yeah, it's tough.
Anyway, I want to get into some weird cryptids.
Let's do it.
All righty. So I have two here. I'm going to start off with the one I'm not quite as excited to talk about, solely because I want to finish off with a banger. So there's two. The first is for all of our Ohio listeners, which we love and appreciate all of you. The Loveland Frogman. So this one's pretty short and there's not a ton written about it. So there's three stories. So the original legend of the Loveland Frogman. So Loveland, Ohio is, I believe, near Cincinnati is what I gathered from it. So in 1955, a traveling salesman was making his way through Loveland, Ohio, when he saw three mysterious creatures conversing on a bridge along the Miami River. So according to this man, these creatures were allegedly 3 to 4 feet tall, had leathery skin, and had the faces of frogs. And they were holding some sort of wand and waving it around their heads. And this freaked the man out, so he ran away. So
interesting.
The story spread a lot. There's a bunch of different iterations of it that they don't say very much. It's just nothing that's changed is like where the location is. So nothing about it until 1972, when in a 2 week span, two different police officers saw the Loveland Frogman. So in March of 1972, officers claimed to have seen a weird animal crossing Riverside Drive in Loveland that matched the original description of the Frogman. So then 2 weeks later, another police officer claimed to have seen it and shot it, and he threw the body in the trunk. Turns out the police officer just shot a very large iguana that was clearly someone's escaped pet.
Oh my God.
I would not be too pleased if my beloved pet iguana was shot and thrown in the trunk of a police officer's van to be shown off as the Loveland Frogman.
Also, how big was this iguana?
You know, there's no photos of it or anything. I guess it was 72, so you didn't really have cameras, but...
But how did they think it was a part man? Like, it could not be that big.
How big can iguanas get? I'm going to Google this. I have no idea.
I feel like not big enough to confuse it for a man.
Let's see. The longest they can get is 3.3 feet.
Which is huge.
But that's still shorter than I think someone who's a legal dwarf.
And see that and be like, oh, that's a huge reptile. Not like, oh my God, it must be a human frog hybrid. Like, how is that the first conclusion you come to?
No, they don't even walk on two legs. They walk on four legs.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I think the guy just wanted to shoot whatever it was. And it's like, look, it's the Loveland Frogman. It's like, no, it's a fucking iguana. And finally, in 2016, so in August of 2016, this guy Jacob was playing Pokemon Go when he came across what he claimed to be the Frogman. And he snapped a video of it. I'm going to pull up the video and send it to you, actually. Give me a second. So according to Jacob, when he was playing Pokemon Go, he saw a real-life giant frog in the water. It wasn't a Pokemon. And he was like, wow, I've never seen a frog that big before. So he snapped some photos and a video, and allegedly the creature stood up and walked on two legs.
Oh, my God.
Here, I'm going to send this to you in Zoom chat. The Loveland Frogman is the first in the article, and there's a video like right under it. It's like a 10-second video that this kid recorded of the alleged Loveland Frogman.
All right, let's see it.
Yep.
Oh, my God, this picture that they have.
I know, isn't it really funny?
So ridiculous. You guys, there's this picture. It's just a frog, but it's standing upright on two legs and looks like it's walking like a Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Okay, wait, this is the video?
Yeah, it's 10 seconds.
So I see two lights in the dark. To me, that looks like someone put lights on a wet pickle.
Yeah, I don't think it's the Loveland Frogman, but
it's also like so close to them. Like, this is someone in a dark room with a wet pickle. That's what it is.
It's not very realistic. So that's my less exciting story, but I just thought it was worth bringing up because it's a little silly. Now we're gonna go on to what I say is my favorite cryptid. It's not accurate. There's not a cryptid out there with a better name. Sinkhole Sam.
I love it so much. I don't even care what it does.
So I'm just going to preface this by saying Sinkhole Sam himself, not very interesting, but the story around it is fucking ridiculous. And I love it. So I discovered Sinkhole Sam. I'm going to give a shout out here. So on r/folklore, there's this guy, his username is u/NeilParkersonMakes. And he made this incredible map that shows cryptids and folklore from every single state in America. It's beautifully drawn, right? And that's how I discovered this. I recommend going to r/, it's on the, what, like the hot or whatever, like top stuff right now. But also check out this u/NeilParkersonMakes. He's made a few incredible maps like this. The other thing I'd like to mention is I read like 3 or 4 articles about Sinkhole Sam. And throughout all of them from different sources, multiple paragraphs were verbatim plagiarized from each other. It was wild.
Oh my God. Okay.
Trying to like paraphrase. It was insanity. So this doesn't really mean anything to me what I'm about to tell you, because I've never been to Kansas. But so bear with me here real quick. So prior to 1920, the area around Inman, Kansas had a bunch of freshwater ponds and lakes that over time were either dried up or drained. But there are several areas still held some water, and these were called sinkholes. So mm-hmm. The largest of these is Lake Inman, and it has an extensive network of caves underneath it. And there's this one sinkhole that they call the Big Sinkhole, and people like to go fish there. It's like 15 feet deep after a particularly big rainstorm. So it's not a very deep body of water.
Okay.
So in the 1950s, two men were fishing in the Big Sinkhole when they reported seeing Sam from a nearby bridge and described him as a large snake-like creature that was 15 feet long and about the diameter of a tire.
Diameter of a tire, okay.
Big round thing, right?
Yeah.
So the one thing with Sam is all the reports are actually quite consistent with him looking how he does. 15 feet long, diameter of a tire. It's very consistent. So a little bit later, two local men, Albert Niefeld and George Rager, said they also saw the creature, and Alfred allegedly shot at Sam from a different bridge, but he was not sure if he shot him or not. The other important thing to know is that these people are Mennonites.
Mm-hmm. So
they're not necessarily looking to profit from the tourism and whatnot because they don't care about that stuff. It seems likely that they saw something out of the norm here.
Okay.
And also, Alfred's family was actually incredibly embarrassed, or not Alfred, Albert's family was actually incredibly embarrassed that his story became public. So this is where the story gets good. In 1952, there's this veteran Kansas newspaper columnist, Ernest Alva Dewey. And He is known to be like kind of an asshole about like these paranormal things and like pretty snarky. So he traveled to Inman with his sidekick, Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum.
Wow.
To sort out this whole sinkhole Sam hoopla. So
that is a name.
This is a direct quote from the Kansas City Magazine. So Dr. Quattlebaum's credentials were, quote, as real as Professor Marvel's diploma in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh my God.
So this is like, he just grabbed a wacko and is like, I'm going to go solve, take Dr. Quattlebaum to go solve the sinkhole Sam mystery.
Yeah, with a name like that, that is just like too good.
So usually when I read things,
you can't make this.
So usually step up. Like slower, like shorten people's names. But I'm going to keep referring to him as Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum because that's fucking hysterical. So
I love that.
Hot start here. We have a skeptical asshole reporter and a quack. So this very real, quote unquote, trained biologist, Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum, determined that Sinkhole Sam was a boopingurkle. The sinkhole.
What?
So I tried to Google foopingurkle, but it's not a real thing.
Did the article make that up, or was that like a direct quote?
That was apparently a quote. The guy. allegedly, foopingurkles inhabit subterranean caverns in Kansas. Which explains.
This is like something out of a Dr. Seuss book.
I know, right? Which
like
explains.
A sick, twisted Dr. Seuss book.
So, per Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum, allegedly, apparently, foopingurkles. Sorry, I'm laughing.
What is going on?
No, but this story wasn't that interesting until I stumbled on this. So basically,
like, it could be like a story about nothing at all, but if it has those names, it's now an interesting story.
This is a story about nothing that just became really interesting. So per this crazy dude, Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum, the reason that Sinkhole Sam can exist in only 15 feet of water is because foopingurkles live in the subterranean cave, so it's like his above ground pool.
Okay.
So they concluded that fishermen and swimmers had nothing to worry about because Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum's research indicated that fooper ginkles were very stupid and vegetarians that would attack anyone.
Oh my God.
This is like a very much non-interesting story until this element gets brought into it.
That is...
This was published in a newspaper.
What is a fooping gurgle?
If anyone knows what
a fooping gurgle is, please let us know.
I'm going to just paste the spelling of it so you can look for yourself if you want. It doesn't exist.
Foo-pen-gurgle. Yep. I can't.
It's not a real thing. It's all just Sinkhole Sam information. So, some theories for what Sinkhole Sam are.
Wait, Steve. Yeah. I found a tweet.
What's it say?
Oh, it's not actually that interesting. It was just a tweet by someone named Lord Humongous. So I thought it was going to be good, but it really wasn't. So continue.
All right. So these are not all that exciting, but here are some possible explanations for the Foopengurkle known as Sinkhole Sam. So one is giant earthworm. So apparently the South African earthworm can reach 22 feet long, which is fucking bonkers.
That's really long.
Yeah. And the Oregon giant earthworm can grow over 3 feet. So there are American earthworms that can reach lengths, but 3 feet long is nowhere near 15 feet.
There's real worms that can get up to 3 feet long.
Yeah. Oregon giant earthworms.
Are they girthy?
I'm going to Google. I have no idea.
Are they just like long and skinny? I don't know what's worse.
Oh, they're long and skinny. That's disgusting. Oh my God.
Wait. What's it called?
That's like a fucking snake. Oh my God. Google it. Oregon giant earthworm.
Wait. But look up the giant Gippsland earthworm because that is girthy.
Oh my God. What? That's freaky. I don't like that.
That is so terrifying. Oh my God. I'm like getting the heebie-jeebies looking at this.
Oh my God. That's insane. It's 10 most endangered animals on the list. Why don't they just chop one of these up into like 30, 40 different worms
and yeah.
have like 30, 40 of them? It should be pretty easy to increase their population.
So true.
Okay, so back on track a little bit. That's crazy. So the most likely explanation is a giant eel, because eels can reach close to 3 feet, which is not 15 feet, but an abnormally large one could be mistaken for that. The final explanation is a escaped giant pet snake, or foopengurkles exist.
Which is probably the most reasonable explanation. Oh, most
definitely. Imagine if your life's work was studying foopengurkles.
Jesus.
And your name was Dr. Osmosis, whatever, what the hell is his last name? Not Osmosis. Quattlebaum. Dr. Erasmus O. Quattlebaum. That's an all-time legendary name.
I just can't imagine. And with a name like that, though, like, really, what can you do?
No, you have to be a procurer of the occult or just really into cryptids.
You have to get into the fooper.
Foopengurkle. If your name's Erasmus Quattlebaum, like, you're not working in investment banking.
I mean, come on. Like, with the last name Quattlebaum, his parents really had to name him Erasmus. Like, that is just rude. I'm sure he got bullied.
Yeah, because he was looking for foopengurkles all the time. You better have gotten bullied. Those don't exist. Anyway, I think that was a pretty darn good comeback episode.
That was a great episode.
So he's got some minor announcements at the end to wrap up the show. First things first, we now are on Reddit. So go check out r/misfitsandmysteries and you can suggest episodes to us, or not suggest episodes, like suggest content for episodes, blogs, whatever you want. And also, it's going to be a great way to interact with us. We're still on the other socials, which MB's going to tell you how to find us later, but we feel like Reddit's a better way to directly interact with people.
Absolutely.
So that's r/misfitsandmysteries. And then again, make sure to leave us a voicemail at 914-627-8582. Tell us any of your cryptid sighting stories, urban legends, UFO encounters, or aliens. If you've been abducted by aliens, we'd love to hear from you. Or if you've even seen a UFO, it'd be pretty cool too.
Ghost stories.
Yes. I couldn't think of that one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything like that. Creepy. You can even send us a creepypasta and be like, sure, why not? And just chance we'll play it on the show. And where can people find us, Emmy?
So you can find us at misfitsandmysteries.com. That's where you can find out all of our episodes. We have some blogs there. We have fan art page. That's where you can sign up for the newsletter. And then on social, we're at podcast_misfits on Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then anywhere else, Facebook, Pinterest, wherever you are, everywhere. Just type in Misfits and Mysteries.
As always, stay spooky, Misfits.
Stay spooky, guys. Bye.
Bye.